If you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Revelation, and we're in Revelation chapter 13. And we're looking at the last half of chapter 13, where we're introduced to the false prophet. The song we just sang, "In Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand," could be no more pertinent to the topic at hand that we're looking at today. You want to look at the religions of the world, they're all sinking sand. They all offer none of them offer hope except the Bible and Jesus Christ. One of the things that God created us is in His image, and He also created us to have fellowship and to worship Him. Man has a desire for religion. He has a desire to worship. He has a desire to have a God to turn to. The problem is, when left to our own devices, even as we were studying in the adult Sunday school class this morning in Genesis, we were looking at the fact that the Tower of Babel, and men have a desire to worship. But the problem is, apart from God, because of our sin nature, that desire goes crazy and it goes astray. And we worship everything but God. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that unless man comes to know Christ, unless he hears the gospel and responds to it, he goes down this vortex of rebellion against God that only leads to greater and greater depravity, and he begins to worship the creature rather than the Creator. He wants to acknowledge something as his, to turn to in his time of need and desperation. But can you believe that today men are turning to Mother Earth? They're turning to doctrines of demons. They're turning to religious systems. And they're turning to themselves and looking within themselves. And the scripture tells us that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know them? And the Bible tells us we don't even know our own depth of depravity. And yet that's the condition of men today, and it's going to be the condition of the men in the last days as the rapture has occurred. We're looking at the introduction in chapter 13. John is showing us the two beasts, the Antichrist, who is going to be the political ruler of the world, and the false prophet, who's going to unite the world in a religious system, which will culminate in the worship of the Antichrist. And we see that this is Satan's false triune God, if you would, because he views himself as the major player, the God that gives these others the power. And he gives power to the Antichrist to be his representative on earth, his man. And he gives power to the false prophet to be, as it would, the false Holy Spirit that would draw men to the Antichrist and ultimately to Satan. This is what's going to happen, but the sad thing is the majority and just about the whole world will be receptive to receive this false prophet's message. How could that be? Well, if you see what's happening in the world today, you can look at the public schools, you can look at even many churches. They're abandoning the teaching of any truth that deals with God. And they do not want anything to be known about Jesus Christ. You can go to public schools today and you can study Islam, you can go to yoga classes, you can be involved with Eastern mysticism, you can have humanism is taught in every class, that man is ultimately God, and those things are allowable. But you bring a Bible to school today and you want to stand up and teach in a literature class or a writing class and you want to use the Bible as your foundation, you'll be kicked out as a teacher. If you want to take the Bible and even use it as a history book, you won't be allowed to do it. Why? Because it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Well, this morning, let's take a look at Revelation chapter 13 and look at this man who comes with this false religious system, which is really worshiping the Antichrist and ultimately Satan. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before them, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which he had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark at their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. And Lord, as we look at what's happening and transpiring in the world's being set up for this very scenario. And Father, every day, it seems we're closer, which we are, to this happening. And Lord, help us to realize, even in some of the songs that we sang earlier, we do not have to fear. For in you we find our hope and strength. As the one hymn goes, Lord, victory is in you. And Lord, we don't have to be afraid. Lord, help us to look to your word now and teach us from it. And may your spirit guide us and help us to understand the deception that Satan is placing all around us. And may we seek to have discerning hearts and follow the truth. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that you need to ask for today, and it's something that Christians always should have done, is have a discerning spirit. If there's ever a day when a believer in Jesus Christ needs to ask God, help me to discern truth from error, that which is real from that which is false, that which is good from that which is evil, today is the day. All around us, a deception is growing greater and greater. We were talking about the fact that the Lord in the last days is going to allow a great deception to come because people want to be deceived. Now, as believers in Christ, we should not want to be deceived. We should want to know the truth. As I mentioned earlier, these events that we're reading about, the false prophet and the Antichrist, they very well, if we are living in the last days, which it has the appearance of, these men are alive today. The thing is, we don't know, the scriptures don't tell us their names. It tells us their character, it tells us what they're like, and it tells us what they'll do. Now you can see men in the world, and you can see their character that would align with this. You can see in the past where they've done things like this, and they very well could have been men that Satan was preparing, if God would allow him, to have them be the Antichrist and the false prophet, but it wasn't the time. Is this the time? I think that everything is indicating we've never before in the history of the world had the opportunity to have a one-world government like we have right now. Never before have we had one-world communications like we have right now. Never before have we had a one-world economy where you could have a one-world monetary system that would control the whole world like we do right now. And never have we had the technology to do what we just read of in the end of this chapter, where you have to have a mark in order to buy and sell. I think a lot of the things that are happening right now in our culture are preparing people to get ready for this. The whole thing with this last year with the COVID vaccine, and now where they're pushing so hard for a vaccine, that they can't tell you, even they being the producers of it, can't tell you how effective it is in preventing you from getting the illness. They can't tell you how long it lasts. They won't disclose what the actual side effects of the vaccine are, and are they really worse than getting the illness. They won't talk about any of that, but yet at the same time, the effort is going forward more and more and more to have people take the vaccine. Why is that? And then on top of it all, it's an experimental drug which legally they can't force anyone to take, but yet they want to force you to take it. I believe that they're preparing you for something more diabolical than a vaccine. They're preparing you for the mark of the beast. What are some other things that you can expect probably to come up unless God in his mercy extends the time and allows us to continue to be a nation, to continue to meet as God's people, to continue to try to evangelize the lost, and doesn't call the church home? What can we see is on the horizon? Well, some of the things that they're already preparing you for is the fact that there's going to be food shortages this year. And if you go to the stores, have you noticed that you start to see the shelves are less and less full? I believe that this is more of a contrived issue than it is a real issue, because they want to get people again in the mindset of being reliant upon those that you have to come to them in order to get your supplies. If you look at in the past, in communist countries in the past, what they would do is they would make the food supplies relatively short, and you would have to stand in line for days, for hours, to get your food. I remember a number of years ago when we were going to a Baptist church in West Fargo, and we had a Romanian man come and speak at our church. And he was speaking, and he told us and shared how he had just brought his brother and his wife from Romania to Fargo. And they had been living in Romania under communism, and they just, and this was in the early, mid-70s, early 80s when this occurred. He brought his brother and wife, and the first thing they did is there used to be a grocery store up by the airport, what is now the North Dakota State College of Science building. And it used to be a grocery store up there, and the first thing he did after he picked him up at the airport, they stopped at the grocery. They walked in the grocery store and they saw shelves and shelves and shelves of food. They literally broke down in tears, weeping. They'd never seen anything like this. They'd stand in line for hours to get a chicken that was half rotten in Romania. And it was a way that the government kept the people under control. I think you're going to see some things like that begin to happen around the world and possibly even in our own country, unless God should intervene. And the thing is, it's for control. They want to get you so that you'll be willingly say, okay, we'll get supplies, but you have to have this mark in order to be able to buy them. Just like right now, you've got some stores that say, they've got signs on the door, no mask required if you've had your vaccine. Or come in here if you've had your vaccine, but if you haven't, you're not welcome. What is that preparing you for? But something more diabolical, something more wicked, and that's what we're reading here. Well, let's take a look at this false prophet this morning and see what exactly he's about. The first thing it says, and behold, another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That's an odd-looking creature. This is really a man, but it's giving him characteristics of an animal. How many of you have seen a lamb running around with two horns on its head when you go to a farm? You don't. Lambs are little sheep. They're baby sheep. They don't have horns yet. A female sheep doesn't get a horns. Only the ram gets horns. Only the male sheep could have horns. But a lamb would never have horns. And we see that this lamb has horns. What is the symbol of Scripture? If you read about horns in the Scripture, what is it talking about? It's talking about power. Now remember, I said last week, you can go home and look at how many times power is used in chapter 13. The power that's spoken of is not God's power. This is Satan's power. This is diabolical power. This is evil power. And we see that this power is mentioned again here. And it's the symbol on this lamb's head is that he comes appearing to be that which is gentle, that which comes. Who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? That's Jesus, right? When Jesus came, he came in meekness and humility. This guy comes pretending to come as a lamb, but he doesn't. He comes with power, and the power is not of God. The power is of who? It says the power is given to him by the dragon. He comes with the power of a dragon. Who's the dragon? The dragon is Satan. We see that that is the symbolism that is given to Satan throughout the book of Revelation. When we went to and began to look at the beginning of chapter 12, where it talked about the dragon and how he was waiting to try and consume the child of the woman, the Messiah. So this is Satan, and he has this man that would come. Why would a guy come under false pretenses? I just said it at the beginning of the service. Deception. Deception, deception, deception. There's many of the past popes, a lot of people have said, well, the pope is probably going to be the false prophet. He may be. The Roman Catholic Church has more influence over world leaders, and the pope has more influence over world leaders than any other religious leader in the world. The past popes, the past few popes, including this one, have called for all world religions to gather together because we all worship the same God. Really? Do we all worship the same God? I don't think so. I think everybody else worships the same God except Bible-believing Christians and those who hold God's Word. Because the God of the Bible is a different God than any other God in the world. And we saw that when we sang the solid rock. And we stand on solid rock, not sinking sands. Well, this man comes with deception. And what is this deception given to him for? It says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. His whole purpose in establishing this is to appeal to man's desire to have someone to worship, and he directs their desire for worship to the beast, to the first beast, to the Antichrist. And his whole intent is to say, look it, I represent all the religions of the world, and we all acknowledge that this is the Messiah. This is the one that's come to save. He's the one that's come to save the world. That'll be this guy's message. And he'll point to this man, and he'll point to the miraculous fact that it appeared that he had been killed, and now he is alive again. But not only that, he will be given supernatural powers. Now, it's interesting, there's another point in the scripture and a point in history where you saw something similar to this. There wasn't someone leading the worship per se. But back at the time of Daniel, when he was in the kingdom of Babylon, and we know that that religion of that country was a diabolical religion established by Satan to deceive the world. And it's been a world religion that's flowed throughout history. But we see at the time of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and his three friends, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He built a giant image to worship, an image of himself. And the people were to worship this image, and they were really worshiping Nebuchadnezzar. And he said that everyone had to bow down to that image. When the lute started playing and the dulcimers began to play and the command went forward, everyone had to bow down. And what happened if you did not bow down to that image? You would be put to death. You would be put to death. It's the exact same thing here. Everyone needs to be, this Antichrist is going to have an image that's going to be created by the false prophet, by the power that is given to him by Satan. And then he's going to demand that everyone bows down to this image and worships this image. This is an amazing image because the image that Nebuchadnezzar created was a giant statue. You can go and read about its dimensions. It was huge. But the one thing that that image couldn't do is it couldn't speak, it couldn't walk, it couldn't talk. This image is going to have power to speak and to talk and to move. And people have said, what kind of an image could do that? Well, artificial intelligence has become a very high thing that's going on in our world today. And if you look at what's behind artificial intelligence and some of the things they want to do, they are not godly in their desires. One of the things they want to do is they want to be able to take your brain and interface it with a computer so that you can learn faster and so you can do things better. They're actually have implanted the first little chip in a person's brain to begin to do this technology. And if you look at these people, their whole thing is to become God. They want to control mankind. They want to control the world. They really want to have eternal life apart from coming to Christ and believing in the Bible. They are going to say they're going to give themselves eternal life through artificial intelligence. It's really bizarre when you begin to read it, but you begin to see that they're doing it. One of the things that they do with artificial intelligence is they've created holograms. You've probably seen some holograms. And what's amazing is they can actually make a hologram so it looks very real. And they're only getting better at it. And pretty soon you're going to be probably going, is the guy speaking? Is he a real person or is it a hologram where everything's being generated through him and it looks like he's speaking, he looks like he's in front of us, it looks like it's a real person, but it's really not him. I believe something like that is very well could be what is spoken of here, where the false prophet is going to have this, the beast that is going to be created, a hologram, if you would, or something like a hologram, where he can stand before the people and he can be seen throughout the whole world as if he's there. Supernatural. But it's not supernatural. It's made by the power of Satan using artificial intelligence. And he says here that this beast, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast who had a deadly wound and was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image. And it's not true life, but I believe that is going to happen because it says it will in this word. Well, why would people be ready to hear that? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Why would people believe that but they won't believe the Bible? Why will they believe all of this that's written here when you got all these miraculous things, fire coming down from heaven? And when we read earlier about the various judgments that God begins to send and supernatural things happen, they don't believe in God. This guy calls fire down from heaven, they believe in him. We had a friend a number of years ago, and this friend had grown up in the Catholic Church. We had Bible studies with this person, and we went through a number of books which really lent to show error in Roman Catholicism and that the Bible's true. And you could tell that this person, whenever we get to a passage that really contradicted what this person was being taught in the Roman Catholic Church, they get very agitated and sometimes to the point of anger. And this person was not an angry person, a very mild, meek person. But one of the things that we begin to get a discussion was, what's the foundation and what do you believe? What causes what you believe? Why do you hang on to these truths when they contradict what the Bible says? Why would you do that? Or not truths, but why would you hang on to these lies, rather, when they contradict the truth of what the Bible says? And she said, well, but what about the apparitions of Mary? Where Mary came and spoke
And people saw her. And she said that these things were going to happen. What about Padre Pio, where he had the manifestation of the stigmata on his hands and his side and his feet? What about these other supernatural events? And this person believed more in supernatural events than truth. Now, Paul tells us that you can have a demon from hell come and deceive you and present a different gospel. As a matter of fact, he warns the Galatian church about that very thing. And he says, even if an angel from heaven should come and begin to preach a different gospel, don't believe it. Because truth cannot be compromised. Truth is truth. And when the gospel says this is the only means by which you can come to God, and that is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood at Calvary, no man cometh unto the Father but by the Son. This guy's going to come, but he's going to come with signs and wonders. And the world is being set up today to believe in signs and wonders. How many of you remember some of the shows on TV a number of years ago? One was Roma Downey had it, and it was dealt with an angel, and was, quote, supposed to be Christian. But you began to listen to it and study it, it wasn't Christian at all. It was demonic. But they used Christian terms and they talked about angels and these angels. But there was a different God, a different Jesus, a different message, a different gospel. But how many people were being set up watching that and saying, oh, it's so Christian. You know that there's Bible study teachers today who are being invited to come and teach via internet and via mass meetings, or probably start up with their mass in place meetings now because of the virus being, who are teaching false doctrine. They're teaching Eastern mysticism. They're teaching contemplative prayer. And there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians across America that listen to these people and say, oh, they're so wonderful. They got such a marvelous message. But if you dissect the message, it's diabolical. It aligns itself with Eastern mysticism and Hinduism, not the Bible. And what you have when you have this confusion amongst God's people, there's no discernment, it prepares people to look for signs and wonders and feelings and emotions and not the truth. This false prophet, what does false mean? He's not real. He's not a real prophet. He's not a prophet of God. He's a lying prophet. This false prophet, as we see in chapter 13, his main means of promotion of the Antichrist is going to be signs and wonders, not truth. He will never tell you where this man is really leading you. He will never tell the world what this man is really all about. But he'll say, oh, look to him. He's your Savior. He must be, because he was stricken down and he was raised up again. He's the Messiah. A false prophet. Let's go on. And he says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. It's interesting. Throughout the Great Tribulation period, there will be those who will reject following the Antichrist. And they will believe in the true and the living God. The vast majority of them will be put to death immediately. When you look at people who had the characteristics of the Antichrist in the past, what is one of the things that they mainly did the minute you disagreed with them? You were put to death. You can look at the tactics of Adolf Hitler. You can look at the tactics of Joseph Stalin. Look at the tactics that are currently going on in China at this very moment. You disagree with the government, what happens? You disagree with the leadership, what happens? You're initially sent to some type of a re-education camp, but the ultimate goal is to have you put to death so that you're silenced, so you cannot spread the truth. That's what it's about. That's exactly what happens here. This man doesn't want the world turning to God because he's Satan's man. He's Satan's religious leader who's promoting the Antichrist, Satan's redeemer. And how can he have people turning to the true God? So the minute they do, the minute that people find out they do, they're put to death. But not only that, he promotes greater and more, even greater things to control people. He causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. You're not, doesn't matter who you are. Once this unholy Trinity comes to power, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter that you're maybe one of the rulers of one of these other kingdoms. We know there's going to be ten areas of the world that will be ruled by men, and that the Antichrist is going to actually take out three of them for rebelling against him. But we see that it doesn't matter what your position is. You have to take his mark, or you're not going to be able to buy or sell. At the beginning of the sermon this morning, I talked about what's happening in our nation today, shortages around the world that may or may not be real. But they're preparing people to rely upon authority to give them what they need. And the more you rely upon it, some of the tactics they want to do? They want to take away even your ability to have your own garden. They want to take away your ability to buy seed that they can't control and manipulate. And they don't want you to have your own food supply. I don't know if there's any correlation, but I heard it's really hard to get canning labels this year. Maybe they don't want people to can. Well, I know they probably don't. But you see here, you can't be reliant if you're self-reliant, you're not reliant on government, you're not reliant on... But you see, it boils down to this. There's only two people to be reliant on. And they're not... One is God, and the other is Satan. God calls us and says, call on my name. Sunday school class this morning, we were looking at the Tower of Babel. What was the spirit at the Tower of Babel that caused God to change the language, disperse the people and give them all different languages? The spirit was an attitude of defiance against God, where man depended upon himself and the supernatural powers of Satan instead of God. If you look at what is involved with the ritual and worship that Nimrod set up at the Tower of Babel, which is really can be seen in just about every culture of the world in some form or another, it was a ritualistic worship of the demonic and really Satan. And it was the deification of mankind. That is what this is about here in the last days. Deification of mankind. Deification of man. This man, the Antichrist, is God. And God says, I am the true and the living God. I am the only God. And yet, we see here that they're going to force you to worship him. And if you don't worship him and don't take his mark and say you're his, you're not going to be able to live. So there's going to be some choices. You know, right now we still have freedom. Our freedoms are disintegrating. and disappearing. But we still have freedom. We still have freedom to meet. We still have freedom to go out and share with others the gospel message. You still have freedom to voice your opinion in our country. But some of those freedoms are starting to be taken away. But what are you going to do with your freedom, and how are you going to use it, and what God are you going to serve? The world is being set up for the biggest lie that's ever been perpetrated on mankind, and the biggest deception that's ever going to come. And at the end, it says, every nation in the world will follow this man. And they're going to ultimately go against Israel and Jerusalem to have, as Satan said through Hitler, the final solution, getting rid of all the Jewish people for all time, because then God isn't God, because he hasn't delivered all his promises to the Jewish people. This is an amazing vision that is given to John of the last days. And as you begin to look at what's happening in our world around us, you can see all of these things being put into place and becoming much more evident. I've shared with you before, when I was a young boy and would go and hear messages given on the book of Revelation, they had no clue. How could you make an image seem alive that it could talk? We can do it today. How could you put a mark on somebody's hand or forehead and they couldn't buy or sell anything without that mark? We can do it today. They can control your bank account. They can freeze your bank account today. It's a little harder with money, but when they want to go to the cryptocurrencies, it'll be really instantaneous. And it all can be tied to your mark, which shows who you are. And I want you to stop and think. Don't you think, well, people will never do that. Remember, we used to have some street people that would come to our services when we met downtown. And they'd come in and said, I'm never going to take the mark of Satan. I'm never going to take the mark of that beast. I'll fight him. And I thought, really? You're not going to take the mark? How foolish. Right now, as I said, you're being prepared to take a mark. I never thought you could mask up the whole world in a matter of a couple months. I never thought you could have the whole world take untried vaccinations, and the whole world hasn't, there's still a lot of people who haven't, untried vaccinations, which they won't tell you anything about, but yet people willingly line up to do it because they were told to do it. It's not going to be that hard for this guy to do this. Especially he shows these signs and wonders and says, look at, he's God because he died and he's alive again. Worship the image and take his mark, and people will line up to do it. We need to warn them. We need to tell them there's hope beyond this. And our hope is in the solid rock. That's that hymn that we sang right before the message this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, and I want you to understand this, Satan doesn't come with a tail and a pitchfork and horns. Today, he'd come with a three-piece suit and come with a silver tongue. He's a deceiver. He can come as an angel of light. When darkness veils his lovely face, when darkness veils Christ's face, and he comes, as Satan comes in with his deception, then I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, which we shared this morning, the covenant that was given through his blood. His covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. What is a whelming flood? We're facing a whelming flood today. And that whelming flood is the
ungodliness is just permeating throughout the world. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. That's the hope we have. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. This guy's going to come with deception. He's going to come with signs and wonders. He's going to come with a silver tongue. He's going to come appearing to be a lamb. But he's coming as a false prophet to deceive the whole world and get them to follow after and join in with the unholy Trinity. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Lord, help us to apply these truths to our life and help us not to be deceived, but help us to stand for truth. And the truth is found in your word. Lord, may we be willing to share with others the hope that we have in Christ, the solid rock. Lord, go with us now and give us opportunities in the week ahead. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 471, I Must Tell Jesus.